I'm Ethan, and this is Mia, and we're going to be reading from Matthew 24, 14 through 30. It's the parable of the talents. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one if he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug into the ground and his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you have delivered me to 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.
The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, You wicked, lazy servant. So you know that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where they will be weeping of gnashing of teeth.
What wondrous love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul. To bear the dreadful curse for my soul.
Good morning. Over the past few weeks, Pastor Monty has been teaching us about the church. And I'll pray for us, and then we'll recap and see where the Lord wants us to go this week. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Lord God, we are here today to hear from you. So, Father God, I pray that you would remove me from this place and use only your words to come out of my mouth. I yield myself to you. Lord God, furthermore, I pray for everyone in here that they would have ears to hear your voice. Your word tells us that your sheep are known by their name and they know your voice. And so, Father God, speak to us. Your servants are listening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. So up to this point, what Pastor has taught us is as the church, not the Rock Community Church, but capital C, the church, Christians, we must love radically. We must pray courageously. And then last week he taught us that we are to grow intentionally. And so these are aspects of the church that we, as the body of the church, must take that on as a part of who we are. And so the foundation scripture that he has been using over the past 3 weeks is this one, Romans 12:5, and it says, "So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all others." And so in a real sense, as we sit in here today, we are one body. But the reality is we're not all the same part. And that's not the nature of this message, but it is so important for us to get that. Because if you don't ever get that, then the body of Christ, which is what we are, unfortunately, will falter. And so as we move into what we're going to talk about today, I want to unpack the scripture that Ethan and Mia read today. Thank you for that. And it is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. And I would ask you to go there. We have Bibles under the chairs. If you have not brought your Bible, most of your phones have access to a Bible. And if you don't, we have Wi-Fi. You can go on to BibleGateway.com and have a Bible right away. That's a shameless plug for those guys. I wonder, do I get paid for that? Anyway, I digress. So let's go back in, and I want to look at this passage, this first portion there in 25 verse 14. Jesus starts out and he says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey." Well, before we go all the way into what this passage is saying, we have to understand something. Now, I'm not an English teacher, but my English teacher taught me that the word "it" is a pronoun. That word "it" points to something. It can't stand alone. So what we have to find out is, what is the "it" that Jesus is talking about? And we can find that if we scuttle back over to the beginning of this chapter, chapter 25, verse 1. And if we look there, Jesus is telling another parable, and he says, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like." And so we would have to go back and find out, well, what's he talking about at that time? Well, we're not going to go read it, but if you go back up to chapter 24, around verse 36 through the end of it, he's talking about when the hour comes when God sends Jesus back to bring us to him in heaven. So, to get you where we are, Jesus is teaching, and he's telling the people what it is like to kingdom of heaven is going to be like. And so by the time he gets to verse 14 in chapter 25, he's already shared what it's going to be like. The kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins, and what happens up there is they weren't prepared. And so as you get to the end of that parable, the parable of the 10 virgins, Jesus says, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Remember, he's been teaching them when God is coming back, when Christ is coming back. We don't know when. So he shares the parable, and he talks about in there how people were not prepared. Then he says in verse 14, "Again, it will be like." So what is the "it"? Now we know it's the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is telling the people, the kingdom of heaven will be like. I need you to hold that, because we're going to talk about quite a bit today. And I need you to understand that it's possible that some toes are going to get stepped on today, but not from a position of judgment, but just love. We're going to go into the word, and sometimes the word is convicting. But I need you to remember throughout this entire message, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. We are talking about God's dwelling place. And so this is Jesus teaching the people, this is how heaven will be like. Are we good? Is everybody ready to kind of move into that direction? All right, so here we go. Buckle up, strap in, put on your steel toe boots or whatever you need to do to allow the Spirit of the Lord to move you in this time. All right, so reading that verse, 14 and 15, he says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another, 2 talents, and to another one, 1 talent, each according to his ability. So one person gets 5 talents. It's an amount of money. Another person gets 2 talents. It's an amount of money. And another person gets 1 talent. It's an amount of money. And then it says, each according to his ability. And that's important. Because Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared in advance. All right, we don't want to hear that. Why do we not want to hear that? Because that means that before you were born, God had works for you prepared. And so, he gives you these works, how? According to your ability. There are so many of you in here that if Pastor Monty said, hey, I need you to come and preach this week, you'd be mortified. It wouldn't be pretty. And the reason for that is that's not your ability. Last week, I was supposed to teach children's church. And what I need to tell you is, it's not according to my ability. And we're laughing, but I can get some amens over in that corner over there, because Saturday night, I sent Romaldo a text, and I said, hey, man, I need your help. Didn't I? Amen. Why? Because it's not according to my ability. I can't stand in front of your kids and teach them well. He did a great job, and I was sitting back in awe of him. You know? Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, but it's not my ability. And so what we have to do is recognize 2 things. 1, we can't do everything. 2, we can do something. And it's our job to be on the lookout for that something. And watch this. Watch this. This is scripture. This is not Greg. I didn't make this up. I didn't write it. I know y'all think, you know, he's so intelligent. Look how smart he was. He married so well. He's smart. But I didn't write this. I did not write the Bible. But watch this. Watch this. The master gave 1 5 talents, 1 2 talents, 1 1 talent. And what did he use to do that? He used the knowledge. Come on with me. He used the knowledge of their ability. He knows them because they work for him. He knows them. And so he didn't go say, here, the person that he gave 1 talent to, he didn't say, here, let me give you 15 talents. Because he knows that's not his ability. He can't do anything. It's too much for him. You guys getting that? You got to get this part. Because God has given you an ability. He's given you a capability. And all you have to do is act in that. That's where we're going today. We're going to walk all the way down this chapter. 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Each according to his ability. God is not going to give you something, he's about to say it, that you're not able to do in his strength. Let me say that one more time, because it preached so well the first time. God is not going to give you anything to do that you are not able to do in his strength. I can hear it. I can hear these brains right now. But you don't understand, Greg. I get so nervous. I get so blah. Maybe you're not doing what God is calling you to do. Maybe you're trying to do what you saw somebody else do. And so you're so busy trying to do what somebody else did that what God wants you to do is not only not getting done, but you're piling stuff on yourself. And we're going to go there in a little bit. All right, so it's important for us to understand, if God is calling you to do something, you know it's God, then you are able. Y'all remember Caleb? Y'all remember what Caleb said way back in the Old Testament? He said, let us go up and take the land. What did he say? We are more than able. We are more than able. Where did he get that from? God. Oh, I'm preaching today. Y'all better call, get your phones out and call Zaxby's. Tell him you might be late. All right. Amen. Let's move on to the next section, which is verse 16 through 18. It says, the man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 talents more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. And you can infer there, he too went at once. You understand? Said he gained 2 more. Watch this. But, here come the Debbie Downer. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Wow, we're going to come back to that later. We're going to let that stew for a few minutes. It's an important aspect of this passage that we need to understand that we are to be fruit bearers. Over the summer, the youth have had as their theme, got fruit. We're supposed to be fruit bearers. And I talked about this on something that I do. When we bear fruit, the fruit's not for us. Jacob Davis taught us that this summer. When you bear fruit, when the apple tree bears apples, how many of y'all ever walk past the apple orchard and you see the trees over there chomping down on some apples? You don't see it. It doesn't happen. Why? Because the apples are not for the tree. They're for other people to enjoy. Your fruit, we're supposed to be fruit bearers for other people to enjoy. So these two people go away and they bear fruit. One of them gains 5 more talents and the other one gains 2 more talents. And so how do we bear this fruit? By serving faithfully. That's what we want to talk about today. Serve faithfully. When we remain in him, we will bear much fruit. During the Holocaust, or during World War II, the Nazi regime carried out one of the greatest atrocities known to man, which was the Holocaust. And in the midst of this Holocaust, there was a lady, her name was Irina Sindler, and she was able to save about 2,500 Jewish children. And the way that she did it was in the Warsaw Ghetto, she would go in as a nurse and she would, you know, taking care of the people, and then she would sedate the children, put them in bags as if they were dead, carry them out, tell the soldiers, well, I'm going to go take care, you know, bury the body, get rid of the bodies. But these kids were not dead. They were sedated. And what she would do, she would take their papers, their Jewish names, and put them in a jar. And she would give new papers to the kids. and put them with families, and these families would raise these kids. She was able to save about 2,500 kids before she herself got caught. Little wisp of a woman. Doesn't seem like it's a big deal. Most of you probably never even heard of her. You heard of Oscar Schindler because he, you know, they made that movie about him. But Irina Sendler, you know, she died in 2008. But before she died, she became prominent because some kids had heard of her. But she didn't do it for that. You know what her biggest nightmare was? This little wisp of a woman who saved 2,500 Jewish kids. People who went on to live lives, didn't die or succumb to the Holocaust. Her biggest nightmare was, I feel like I didn't do enough. I feel like I didn't do enough. She actually believed that she was no hero, and she has this comment up here. I don't have it memorized. Heroes do extraordinary things. What I did was not an extraordinary thing. It was normal. Each according to his ability. She might not be able to walk in there and say some words that would make Hitler change his mind, but she could take one kid out at a time. She could create and build a network that would save the lives of one kid at a time, bearing fruit, how God would ask her to do. And she had the audacity to say, I am no hero. She didn't look at herself as a hero. You know what she looked at herself as? God has given me this capability. I have the ability. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to save these lives. What is God calling you to do? How is God calling you to serve faithfully? You might not get a parade. You may not get nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. But you will get the satisfaction of knowing that you did what God has called you to do. We have to work diligently for God with the talents that he has given us until he returns or calls us home. It's not our place to decide when we're going to work and when we're not going to work, what we're going to do and what we're not going to do, when it pertains to God giving it to us according to our ability. Now let's look at so that tells us how the first two, the person with five talents and two talents, they both produced well. But what about the person with one talent? Verse 18 says, but the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. This happens when we decide that we're not good enough to do that. God has called us to do something, and either we start doing and we give up because we don't think we're enough. Read Peter walking on the water. Or God has called us to do something and then we just don't do what he told us to do. Read Jonah going the other way. But God calls us to do something and we don't do it. This is this person. And in this case, it's even worse. Why? Because he hides the money. So he's playing it safe. He's not being mean. He's not stealing the money. He's just trying to make sure he doesn't do what? Lose the money. So he's not being mean. He's not trying to hurt anyone. He just is afraid to excel. He's afraid that he might not be capable of doing what his master, watch this, knows he can do. Well, why are you saying that? Because what does it say? He gave them the talents, how? Each according to his ability. Can I remind you, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven is like? So all this example, Jesus is talking about who? He's talking about God. And God gives us each according to his ability. And it's our job to serve him faithfully. When I was in Augusta, Georgia years ago, I was a Sunday school teacher. And I thought I was doing okay at the job. I thought this is where God would have me to teach. And one day I decided, on my own, nobody had to convince me, I decided that I wasn't doing a good job, that I'm not able to teach these kids. And so I went to the pastor and I said, I'm not going to be able to teach anymore. You know, I'm just not doing, you know, a good job. The kids are not listening and blah, blah, blah. And this mother comes to me and she says, don't leave. She said, you don't think you're making a difference, but you are. Don't leave. Now, how did I convince myself that she was wrong? Her child was the worst one of them all. So I was like, well, I know you don't. You're blind. You need to get your head out that sand, ostrich. Fast forward 5 years later. Now, I'm long gone from Augusta, Georgia. In fact, I have been to Korea, and now I'm in California. And I'm watching a video. And the video was of the children doing a Christmas show that year. And I'm looking at this show. I'm looking at the video. And there's a girl on there singing the song, Let It Snow. I would sing it for you, but come on. I'm not trying to get everybody to run out of here. And I'm watching that, and the Lord tapped me on my heart. Now, I tried to ignore it. But when the Lord taps, you ain't got a choice. You know what he said to me? One word. See? I knew what he meant. That young lady who was singing that song, she was the quietest person in the group. She was the quietest person in the group. And she was the first one to volunteer to sing. When I said, hey, we want to do this Christmas show, she said, can I sing Let It Snow? And I didn't even see it. In 1992, I had blinders on. In 1998, I'm watching that, and the Lord said, see? Each according to his ability. I had decided that I didn't have the ability. I decided wrong. If you're going to serve faithfully, you can't put yourself in the driver's seat like I did. And so who knows? I mean, the Lord is faithful. So prayerfully, I didn't mess those kids up too bad by abandoning them. But I did. I messed up. Verses 19 through 23 intrigue me. I want you to notice here. The servants have come, the master comes back and says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, pay close attention here, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Goes on to say, the man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. I want you to notice something. Look at verse 21 and verse 23. And the real quick readers might have noticed in the video, it started with verse 21 and ended with verse 23. What's the difference in those 2 verses? What words are different?
Verse
You see any differences? Why is that important? Why does that matter? Because remember we said each according to his ability? Well, the first one had 5 talents, and he gets 5 more. So he comes back with 10 talents. The second one has 2 talents. He gets 2 more, so he comes back with 4 talents. But the joy of the master is the exact same. Whatever God has for you to do, serve faithfully. Don't look and say, well, I'm not a prayer warrior, so I can't pray, so what can I do? Well, maybe God has it for you to be someone who's in hospitality. Just giving someone a hug, you know, patting someone on the back. I know that David Jacobs, the first time he sees me on Sunday, he's going to put his hand out, and he's going to shake my hand, and that touches my heart every time. That's a greeter right there. If you meet my wife for the first time, don't do that, because she's coming in with this. You can bet your whole house on it, because that's her heart, just a hug. But it would be easy for her, it would be easy for David to think, well, that handshake doesn't mean anything. Oh, that hug doesn't mean anything. And it's touching lives. We think it's so small. Each according to his ability. Because at the end of the day, when Billy Graham gets to heaven, the Lord may say, well done, good and faithful servant. And we think, oh, yeah, man, he was evangelizing. Look at all the people, all the things that he did, all the people that came to Christ. And then Sonny Mays goes to heaven, the best hugger you ever wanted to meet. But it doesn't seem like it's that big a deal. And the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. Why? Because he's not, oh my goodness, I'm about to shout you down. He's not looking at what you're doing. He's looking at, are you doing what I told you to do? Because I gave it to you, watch this, according to your ability. So he doesn't care what you're doing. He doesn't care about, when I say care, hear what I'm saying. He doesn't care if you're a person that has 10,000 people in your church coming in, shouting down, oh, we love you, Lord. Or if you're the person who blows the leaves off the front of the church. He's not looking at that saying, oh, well, this person right here had all these people in the church, and this person just blew some leaves out. No, 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 no. Each according to his ability. As the story goes, a pastor and his taxi driver came to heaven. They got to the gates, and the taxi driver gets there, and they say, hey, come on right in. Praise God, come on in. And then the pastor came there, and they held him up. Said, well, your paperwork is a little short here. The pastor said, well, wait, how are you going to let the taxi driver come in? And I had this big church. They said at the gate, well, when he was driving his taxi, the people prayed. But when you were preaching, the people slept. So don't look at what people are, you know, what you're supposed to be doing. Trust God and do what you're supposed to be doing. If you got a big church, preach as the Lord has called you to do in the big church. If you're supposed to blow the leaves, blow the leaves. If you're supposed to call somebody on the phone, call them on the phone. You're supposed to send out birthday cards. How many of y'all get birthday cards? Brittany, she's queen of the birthday card. That's her ministry. And that's well done, good and faithful servant. Are you getting it? Can I move on? Did we get that piece? Because God's talking to you. If you're in this room, and let's just do a little shout out, because every once in a while people will listen online. If you're listening to this streaming, God's talking to you. He gave you something to do. Ephesians 2:10, we already said that. And he gave it to you according to your ability. So if he gave it to you, what does that mean? You can do it. Amen. If he gave it to you, you can do it. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is like a man, a master who went off and he gave 5 two, one, each according to his ability. If God gave it to you, you have the ability, and you cannot not do it and expect God to say, "Ah, you tried. Well done." Right? Because we now have to go to verse 24. I know most of y'all wanted to get to Zaxby's already, but we got to go to verse 24. And as we look at verses 24 to 29, we're going to enter the area of Christianity about which most Christians do not want to speak. It's the difficult time where stuff is about to get real. So let's go in to verses 24 through 29. I would read, but I asked Mia not to take the paper with her, but she took it anyway. Mitchell took it from me. Somebody, they got my verses down there, so I have to read from the Bible with this small letter. It's okay though, Mitchell. You know, you just don't ever expect the staff to sabotage your message, but it's okay. It's okay. All right. But did you notice Ethan went all Adam on it? It's that staff member you gave us. So that's scripture. It's scripture. So, all right. So let's get over here to verse 24. So it's, you know, it's good for us to laugh because we ain't gonna be laughing in a minute. It says, "Then the man who had received one talent came. Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." Master wasn't hearing that. Come on now, y'all stay with me because this is tough. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Now here we go. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him." He didn't get "well done, good and faithful servant." He didn't get "well done, good and faithful servant." God called you to do something according to your ability, a work he prepared in advance. You're not getting "good, well done, good and faithful servant." It's not coming. And one of the things that we do here in our country is we want to make everybody feel good. Oh, come on in. But we got to go all the way back to verse 14. What does it say? Again, it is like. Well, what's the it? The kingdom of heaven. And we already said that the master is representing who? Come on. He did not say, "well done, good and faithful servant." In fact, are y'all ready for this? Because some of y'all plugged your ears. Take them fingers out your ear. What did he say there? There it is, 26. There it is. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant." Those are harsh words. Those are harsh words. But God gave us something to do, and he gave us the ability to do that something. And then we don't do it, and we sit around, and we say, "oh, well, I'll get to it later," or, "oh, I'm just not able to," or, "I don't have the time," or, "oh, I'm about to preach you down. Don't get mad. I'm keeping it real." We hear people say all those things. All right, come on. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for what I'm about to say? Because it's about to get quiet in this church. Oh, it's about to get quiet in this church. Every single time somebody dies, every single time somebody dies, you know what we say? They're in a better place. They're in a better place. We say it every time. Have you ever heard anybody say about somebody dying, man, I don't know. Am I right? It's not what we want to hear. We want to hear they're in a better place. They're in heaven now. We'll be reunited with them later. And you know what I want to say sometimes? Ooh, I don't know. I hope not. Because that might not be where we want to be in the reunited place. Well, don't say that, Greg. You can't say that. Who do you think you are? You're trying to be judgmental. Where are you getting that from? I'm glad you asked. And I was going to tell a story about my wife. I asked her a question last night, and she answered it. And she said, why? I said, oh, no reason. But I skipped over that, so you're off the hook. You know what I'm talking about? And two coins. Ask her about the coins later. It don't go with the sermon right now. Let's take a look at the last verse. And ladies, for those of you who are out here, it's probably in your best interest. Don't marry a preacher. Because you get to be the examples in a lot of their stories. So just throwing that out there. Let's look at this last verse. You know, it's good for us to laugh a little bit because this last verse is absolutely no joke. It's absolutely no joke. Now, he's talking about the servant with one talent. What was he? The wicked, lazy servant. He's not a faithful servant. He's a wicked, lazy servant. He didn't do what God has called him to do. Verse 30 says, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Worthless servant. That's Bible. You can get mad at me for pointing it out. That's Bible. God has called us to do a work. Listen to me. If you open your Bible, you're going to come to a book called Job. And in the book of Job, the Bible says that the angels came before God and that Satan was with them. And God says what? Where have you been? And what does Satan say? Oh, I've just been chilling in the cut watching Netflix. No. He says, I've been roaming the earth. You understand? Now let's fast forward into the New Testament. And Peter says, our adversary, the devil, is roaming or prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we think that God gives us something to do, and we think it's okay not to do it. Come on, God loves us. He does love you. There's parents in this room that had to punish their kid, discipline their kid, didn't let their kid go do something. And that kid's mad up in the room, and that parent is sad wherever they are. I can testify for myself. Because it's like, man, I know she wanted to go do that, but I have to hold firm to this. My daughter may not remember this, but there was multiple times that I would let her off punishment early just because I just hated to see her staying on punishment too long. But here's the thing. We serve a just God. And when we don't do what he's called us to do according to our ability, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. No, Greg, that isn't right. You don't know your Bible. May I flip over to Matthew chapter 7. In Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, here's what we read. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly. Then I will tell them clearly. Then I will tell them so that there is no mistake in what I'm saying. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. That's not what we want to hear in church. We don't want to hear that in church. And the reason why we don't want to hear that in church is because that's convicting. We want to go back to the two people. Well done, good and faithful servant. But here's the thing. If you're serving God how he's called you to serve him, you will get well done, good and faithful servant. That's the way it is. That's his word. That's his desire. If every parent in here desires to see their child succeed, to see their child do the things that they've asked them to do, how much more is our Father in heaven desiring for us to serve him faithfully? So much more. And here's the thing. Sometimes as a parent, I put too much on my daughter. And then I would hold her accountable for that. God doesn't do that. Watch this. God never does that. He never gives you something that you're not capable and able to do in his strength that he gives to you. And so what we need to be doing is saying, okay, God, what is it that you have for me? How can I serve you faithfully? What do you need me to do? And here's how you're going to find that out. Reading his Bible, engaging people, talking to people, paying attention to those things where you feel that you know you're passionate about something. Because that is how God is going to speak to you. And listen to me. He is going to speak to you. You sit in this place for these 30 minutes or however long I've been up here talking to you. All you have to do is say, God, I'm in. I want to do what you have called me to do because I know that you're only giving me according to my ability. And then start paying attention. That's what God wants. That's the crux of this message. That's the church, to serve faithfully according to your ability, and you have it. I don't care if you're a little bitty or if you're old. According to your ability, serve faithfully. If I can get the praise team to come forward, I will pray for us. I know that's hard, but I'm happy that it's hard. I pray that you are a little convicted right now, not conflicted. It is my heart's desire that you get serious about seeing what God has for you. because he has a work for you, and it is according to your ability. He's not hanging you out to dry, having you do something that you can't do. So, Father God, I pray for you right now. I pray to you right now, Lord God, for these who are here, those who are listening, and those who may want to be here but just couldn't make it today. Father God, touch our hearts. Help us to know what it is you've called us to do. It's our desire to serve you and serve you well. Be with us right now, Lord God. Now, Father God, there are people in this room right now who do not know you, not how we are supposed to know you, not through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've heard of you, or they've heard of you, Lord God. They know you exist, but they have not accepted what Jesus did on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins. And Lord God, they are in danger. And sometimes, Lord God, we don't make that message clear. But it's true. Your word tells us. And so, Lord God, I pray for each of those people in this room today that they would have the courage to say, Father, I am not worthy of you. I am not worthy of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. I am a wicked, lazy servant, but I don't want to be that anymore. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would apply the blood of Jesus Christ to my sin account, and that you would wipe it clean, and that I would be debt free, and that I would be able to serve you faithfully as you have called me to do, as you have equipped me to do. Lord God, I thank you. I praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name.